Yeah, what? It's been just so rich with the worship, with the testimonies, just so amazing, amazing, and great. And thank you all for sharing. And it takes courage to step out in faith and share your testimonies. And I'm sure there are many other testimonies there, so maybe you'll get an opportunity next week to share them. All right, let's come to God's word this morning. And we're continuing where Shoma so wonderfully left us last week. Okay, remember, Shoma preached last week from Luke chapter 24. And this was the resurrection appearance of Jesus. Okay, so we're going to look at Luke 24, and we're really going to look at the second half of the story, which is from verse 36 onwards. And we're also going to jump into the same passage in John, which is John 20, verse 19. So we'll be going back and forth. It's the same event, but covered by two gospel writers. And so let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence with us online this morning as we've gathered to worship you, to adore you, to fellowship with one another, to hear your word. Thank you for your presence with us. Lord, we ask that you would be with us now as we come to your word. Lord Jesus, you are the living word. Lord, on the road to Emmaus, Lord, you were the one who opened you touched the hearts of the disciples, Lord, and their hearts were burning when they heard you teach. A little later on, you opened their minds, they could understand scripture. Lord, would you do the same with us this morning, Lord? You are our teacher. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. May your anointing be upon me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so a little background to where we left off last week. Okay, last week we looked at the resurrection of Jesus and his post-resurrection appearance. Okay, Jesus had risen from the dead. And on that first Sunday of the week, he had appeared at least five times to different groups of people. Did you know that? At least five times. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the women. He appeared to Peter. Now, you may not realize this, but he did appear to Peter. Okay? Now, the appearance to Peter is not recorded in the Gospels, but it is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, where Paul says, that he appeared to Cephas or Peter and then to the 12. Where Paul was listing out the appearances of Jesus. So it was Peter, and then he appeared to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. One of them was Cleopas. We don't know what the other person's name is. And finally, he appeared to the 11 disciples and others in the room where they were at. Okay, so these were the different appearances of Jesus. And what is important about those appearances is that the appearances of Jesus attest to his resurrection from the dead. Okay, I'll say that again. The appearance of Jesus to all these different groups of people, the women, Peter, Mary Magdalene, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the 11 disciples, apostles and others, and Paul says at one time he appeared to 500 people. This is most probably his ascension time. But over a period of 40 days, he appeared to so many of them, and his appearances testify that death had no hold over him. He had been raised from the dead and was alive forevermore. And we're going to go through this passage, okay? And we're going to look at different things that relate to the resurrection and how it relates to us as Christians. So just a little recap of the story, yeah? Two disciples traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. On the way, they meet Jesus, but they're kept from recognizing him. They don't know who he is. He pretends he doesn't know anything that's happening, and they continue walking. And along the way, he explains to them the scriptures, and he gives them a mild rebuke. And he says, you guys are so slow to believe the scriptures. It was written, the Christ may suffer, must die, and he'll rise again. And then as they reach Emmaus and they're sitting for a meal, and he takes bread, and as he breaks it, communion, suddenly their eyes are opened and he disappears from their sight. Wow. And then the disciples are so filled with joy that although they've made this two-hour journey, a seven-mile walk to Emmaus, it's already late in the night, they rush back to Jerusalem. Okay, and they rush back to Jerusalem. And they and that's where we are at verse 33 of Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 33. Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those together with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Probably when Simon had told the other disciples, the apostles and disciples, "I've seen the Lord," they still didn't believe him, you know. And this is what happened. And then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Okay, so they are so full of joy and excitement and they are relating to this. And then at that time, while they are in, remember, they're in with, and there are locked doors there. John 20 tells us that the doors were all locked because of fear of the Jews. John 20 verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, this is what happens. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Wow. Okay. Now remember, the disciples were all fearful because they thought, well, Jesus was arrested and he was killed. Next, it's me. So they were in a hidden place, locked the doors, and they were quietly in that room. And Jesus walks through locked doors and he appears to his disciples. I'm sure they must have been terrified, you know, because in the Luke account, in Luke chapter 24, verse 37, it says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Oh no, this is a ghost and the doors are locked. What shall we do? And then Jesus says to them, you know, why are you, after saying peace with you, why are you troubled? And why did doubts arise in your minds? You know, they still couldn't get it that Jesus had been destined to be raised from the dead. And he says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." All right? So this is Jesus appearing to his disciples. And his appearing shows is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, it's important for us to know that the resurrection of the dead, of Jesus from the dead, is the linchpin of Christianity. It is the most important event. Our faith rises and falls on the resurrection. Okay? The early disciples, till Jesus appeared to them, they didn't quite believe in the resurrection. So I'll give you a few reasons why the resurrection is important. Okay, here's one. Number one, Romans 4:25. Jesus was raised for our justification. It says there in Romans 4:25, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. If Jesus had died not to raise again, we would be dead in our sins. But we are justified because Jesus was raised from the dead. And you know what justification means? Those of you who have done the training on doctrine of salvation, justification means all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. Everybody say, forgiven. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to dip in any river. We don't have to do any fast. We don't have to go to any holy place. Right where you are, you can have your sins forgiven as you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Okay? And not only are our sins forgiven, justification is that the righteousness of Jesus, all his good deeds, have been credited to your account. Wow. And because of that, we are entitled to go to be with God in heaven forever. Amazing. The second thing about the resurrection is that Jesus, through the resurrection, proved that he defeated death. Romans 6:9. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Wow. The second truth of the resurrection is that death has been defeated. The greatest enemy of all. You know, which is our greatest enemy? It's death. You know, the statistics for death are 100%, except for Jesus. Okay? And that's how it is. You know, today, our world, our country is filled with stories about death. But for us, we know that death is not the end. All right? Death is just a doorway from which we pass over from this world into eternity with Jesus. Wow. Okay, so death for a Christian. You know, Christians who know their Bible well and know Jesus well, die well. What does that mean? What it means is we're not afraid of dying because we know that we will spend eternity with Jesus. Wow. So death no longer has mastery over us. Thirdly, what does the resurrection prove? It declared that Jesus is the Son of God. It proved that Jesus was the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says this, and who through the whole Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there have been many religious leaders over the years who have come and who have claimed great things, that they've received revelation from God and all kinds of things. But they all ended up dead, never to be heard of again. Only Jesus rose from the dead bodily, and he appeared to his disbelieving disciples. Okay? And he didn't just appear once. He appeared on numerous occasions over a period of 40 days. He didn't appear to just one person. He appeared from 1 to 2 to 11 to 500. Wow. Okay? So Jesus, by his resurrection, has declared and proved that he was the Son of God and is the Son of God as he claimed. Okay. The next fifth thing about the resurrection is this for us, is that when we die, one day we will be raised to be like him. We will be raised to be like him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. It says, but Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Okay, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes those who belong to him. So we know that one day we too will be raised from the dead. Wow. Okay. Another reason to believe in the resurrection is that it gives us hope beyond the grave. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Wow. There's so much on the resurrection of the dead. Okay, there's so much. And I'll give you one more verse. Acts 17, verse 30 to 31. Acts 17, 30 to 31. It says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. This Jesus who has been raised from the dead will one day judge everyone, except those of us who've put our trust in him. All right, so the resurrection is important, and Jesus proved that by appearing to his disciples. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth when he sees the disciples, he says, peace be with you. In our day today, we are also looking for that kind of peace. You know, just this morning, I heard the sad news that another pastor I know died. We've been praying for him. You remember, he's Pastor Anna Sahib Pawar. And he was recovering. His oxygen levels went to 98. He was off the ventilator and he looked. It was very good. And then suddenly he took bad last night, and this morning he died. And in the midst of this dark situation of the COVID virus, you know, causing such havoc and death, you know, what we can do is, the Jews were in a similar situation. They were fearing for their lives, the disciples. You know, and Jesus comes to them and he says, peace, shalom, be with you. And Romans 5 verse 1, Romans 5 verse 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And because we have because we are justified, we have peace with God. Earlier today, a couple of scriptures were read about Jesus promising his great peace. You know, Jesus says, John 14, verse 27, and John 16, 33. And may I encourage you to look up those scriptures where Jesus says, peace I give to you, my peace I live with you. I do not give as the world gives. You know, so receive the peace of God in this challenging situation. Okay, so we receive that peace. Now, at one time, we were hostile to God. Okay, but because we were sinners. And what Jesus did is, when he came to his disciples, he said, peace. Now, just think about it. You know, if Jesus wanted, he could have gone to the high priest. He could have gone to the temple courts. He could have appeared there to all his enemies who had crucified him and said, hey guys, you see me? You all crucified me on the cross. You all killed me, but I'm alive. Woohoo! I think if you or I were in his place, we would probably have done that. You know, you would have done that. But Jesus, in the Bible, there is no record of him appearing to his enemies. He only appeared to those who had put their trust in him. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Okay. Now, I just want to clarify this thing. You see, there are only two categories of people in the world today. There are enemies of God and friends of God. Those who have peace with God and don't have peace with God. Okay. And how, and I'm just touching on this. We don't have time to get into it, but the moment we are born, we're really enemies of God. When we come to faith in Christ, that's when we become friends of God. In John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I no longer call you, John 15, verse 5, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. Wow, isn't that amazing? We have peace with God, and Jesus doesn't just call us servants. He calls us friends. Isn't that a great privilege? Yeah. Just say to yourself, I'm friends with God. Wow. That's so wonderful. Okay. But of course, at one time we were enemies with God. Yeah? And Romans 8:7 says that the mind controlled by the flesh is hostile to God. Okay. The mind controlled by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. And it's only when we put our faith in Jesus and are born again, that's when we become friends of God. Because Galatians 3:26 and 25:26 says that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Today, I want to exhort you. If you know you're either an enemy of God or you are a friend of God. You're either a son of God or a son of the devil. That's it. There's no in between. Okay? And I want to plead with you this morning. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Yeah? Today is the day of salvation. If you've not yet put your faith in Jesus, do so today. All you've got to say is, Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead. I repent of my sin. You are the only God. I will follow you. Amen. All right? Okay, let's move on. So he said peace to the disciples in Luke 24. And then he shows them his hands and his side. Luke 24. Now this is an amazing thing. What kind of body did Jesus have? Okay, here he says, Jesus, touch me and see me. Okay? And verse 40, when he has said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. What do you think he showed them on his hands and his feet? Anybody knows? He showed them the nail marks. His pierced hands and his feet. Okay? Showing that he had really gone through the crucifixion. Now, you know, this whole passage, as we look at it now, will show you a snapshot of the Christian life. Okay, snapshot. Now, what did Jesus have? He had a resurrected body. He had a new body that could go through walls. It was a body that people didn't quite recognize him till he revealed himself. But it still had some markings of his previous life. So we don't quite understand all of that. Okay? But he showed them his body. Now, when we die, one day, we too will have a new body. Okay? We too will have a resurrected body. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks about the resurrection body that we will have. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 says that, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay? And jumping on to verse 42, it says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor and sickness, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Okay? So, friends, one day you will have a spiritual body, a supernatural body that will last forever and ever, just as Jesus had that same body. Okay? So that is our hope. Yeah? Our spirits are perfected, but one day we are waiting for our new body. Okay. The next thing that we see is in John 20, where Jesus does something a little strange. This is what he does. In John chapter 20, he speaks to the disciples and he says this. He breathes on them. What's happening here? Okay, John 20. Look at that again. In John 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. What exactly is happening here? Okay? And this is what Jesus did, I believe. And, you know, the same, where did God breathe on people in the Old Testament? Anybody remember?
Garden of Eden.
When God created man, his first creation, okay, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And now, Jesus does the same thing with the disciples. What's he doing here? This is what he's doing, you see? Till that time, they had not really received the Holy Spirit in them. And this is what theologians have said, that as he breathed into them, it was the new creation. That was first creation in Eden, where God created Adam by making him out of the dust of the earth and breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. Here, we see new creation, where the Holy Spirit comes and gives spiritual life to these disciples. Okay? Now I said this is a snapshot of the Christian life. When we put our faith in Jesus, that's what happens to us. The Holy Spirit causes us to come alive and takes his residence within us. Okay? We are born again. Next, what else did Jesus do? Okay? In John 20, he says this. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. So they receive the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on and he gives them, in verse 21, he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Okay. What Jesus did to the disciples is the same for all of us. When we are born again, Jesus is now sending us. Okay? He's sending us out into the world to proclaim the gospel. That's what Jesus is doing. He's sending us to proclaim the gospel, just as he sent the first disciples. And he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And then he breathes on them, and then he makes an amazing, amazing statement. He says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Wow, that's amazing authority. So what really does he mean by this? I think what he means by this is saying this, that as we go out into the world, sent by Jesus, and we proclaim the gospel. And when somebody comes to faith, we say, well, you've believed in Jesus, your sins, past, present, future, are forgiven. But if somebody does not receive our message, Jesus said, rub the dust off your feet, you know, and say, listen, you're not receiving Jesus. Your sins are not forgiven. That's great authority Jesus has given us. Okay, and so we need to, there's one thing we need to do is somewhere we need to proclaim the gospel to people. Okay, and tell them, hey, unless you turn to Jesus, your sins will not be forgiven. Okay? And then he says in the Luke version, in Luke 24, yeah, I'm jumping back and forth between Luke and John. In Luke 24, he says, he continues to say this. He says, verse 47, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Okay. And I think as a church, if there's one area we are weak in, one area I am weak in, it's in this area of sharing the gospel. Okay. And I want to encourage us, you know, Jesus has breathed his Holy Spirit into us. He's given us new life. We have an inheritance in heaven. Okay, he's risen from the dead. And in this COVID-infected world, this is what he wants us to do. Hold out the hope of eternal life to people who are perishing physically as well as spiritually. In verse 48, he says, you are my witnesses of these things. And in 49, he says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Okay? Not this. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Wow. So what is Jesus saying here? And in John, he says a similar thing. He says, he doesn't say that in John, but he says this here. And elsewhere in all the Gospels, it says that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we receive the Holy Spirit inside us when we come to faith. But then that's what happened to the disciples right there when Jesus appeared on the first Easter day. But then 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, as they waited, the Holy Spirit clothed, came upon all of them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now that's another topic for another day, okay? But that's a snapshot of what God wants to do in our lives. Okay? One is Jesus was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We've seen all the benefits and importance of that. But then he causes us to be new creations, born again by his Spirit. Our sins are forgiven. He gives us instructions. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. He sends us to proclaim the gospel to people. And he says, the sins you forgive are forgiven. Those sins you don't forgive are not forgiven. That as we proclaim the gospel and as people receive Jesus, wow, we can declare your sins are forgiven. And then he doesn't send us on our own. He sends us with the Holy Spirit. He says, wait till you are filled with your clothed from on high, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And see the transformation that took place with the disciples. The first Easter Sunday, they were scared, locked doors, bolted, latched, everything for fear of the Jews. The day of Pentecost, they are boldly out there in the temple courts, boldly proclaiming the gospel. What caused that change? They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let's bring this to a close this morning. Where are you this morning? If you've not yet put your faith in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Make that prayer. Get in touch with one of us. We'll pray for you. Okay? Because your eternal destiny hinges on your following Jesus and only Jesus. For the rest of us who already received Jesus, yeah, let's be people who are earnestly praying and saying, Lord, help me. Help me proclaim your gospel, your good news to somebody. Yeah, people are hurting right now. Let's reach out to them. Let's pray for them. Let's comfort them. Let's help them. And those are all good, but let's look for opportunities where we can share the love of Jesus with them. And for those who have not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit, okay, we'll be covering that in a few weeks, but this is what you need to do. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me boldness so that I can be your witness, that I can proclaim the gospel boldly. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your death and your resurrection, your appearance to the disciples. Lord, because of your resurrection, we too have the hope of life after death. Lord, I pray for each one here, Lord. May your Holy Spirit take that word and help us to be obedient to it, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. For those who need salvation, save them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we just pray that you would clothe us with power from on high, that we would proclaim your gospel boldly, just as the Father sent you and you sent us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.